A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, along with Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. The 2024 County Championship season starts this week, and that's the centre of our focus. We'll hear exclusively from Surrey captain Rory Burns, Hampshire spinner Liam Dawson, and Durham wicketkeeper Ollie Robinson. We think he should be the Oliver Robinson, because we'll have the other Ollie Robinson speaking to us as well ahead of the new campaign. David Bumble Lloyd will join us to discuss Lancashire's hopes and the news that Nathan Lyon will play a reduced role with the county now that his workload is being managed by Cricket Australia. As I said, England and Sussex fast bowler Ollie Robinson joins us for a wide-ranging chat, and we also hear the thoughts of Derbyshire head of cricket Mickey Arthur and a great friend of this programme. If that's not enough, we'll bring you the final word as always. So plenty to come over the next hour. You're listening to Following On. Surrey aiming for three titles in a row, Harmy, and that's where we begin as they look to give Alex Stewart the dream farewell with a hat-trick of titles. But we'll hear this from a number of people coming up. It's a very, very strong division, isn't it, with Surrey, Hampshire, Essex, Durham and Lancashire, and that's probably being unfair to the other four. But, I mean, those four or five very, very strong counties, and you can see all of them mounting a very strong winning campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's Surrey's to lose because they've been in this position, you know, many years, and they've been very, very strong. At the start of Alex's tenureship, the director of cricket, he's built a very, very strong unit who, whether anybody's jealous, they've got money, they've got a huge amount of players to pick from, top talented players to pick from. And for me, it's Surrey's to lose, but I would say it's probably it's got a chance to be the best championship for many, many years, the strongest championship first division for many, many years, and arguably the best talent pool of players in that first division for possibly 15, 20 years. So it's going to be intriguing to see how it goes. They're going to have to be managed because 7 games in, you know, such a short space of time till the end of April, till the end of May. I think it's, like you said before, there's probably 6 teams there who can potentially challenge Surrey at the top of the table. And but I think Surrey are just ahead of everybody else because, you know, they've gone for their third title and they've got a bigger talent pool of players because of the amount of games in such a short space.
The work ethic and skills of head coach and our friend Gareth Baddy is, I think, not fully appreciated by everybody. But one of his greatest skills, I think, is keeping everybody happy. They've used 21 and 22 players, I think, in the last 2 seasons in the championship as they won the title. To keep guys happy, if they're only playing once a month, takes a great skill. Anyway, let's hear from Surrey captain Rory Burns.
That's the outcome that everyone wants. You know, all teams in our division want come the end of the year. You know, there's a lot of hard work that goes between now and then to try and get that over the line. We've obviously begun that process, you know, back in November. The few of us that were here and those sort of things and moving that on to now getting all the lads back together and talking about that. So, we're excited.
And the big news that came out of the club last week, Alex Stewart going to step down at the end of the calendar year. Just how big an impact has he had on, on you as a cricketer?
Yeah, massive. I mean, the Stewart family's had a pretty big impact on my cricketing career. His brother Neil, I was, I suppose, one of his disciples from about six. So, yeah, they've had a big influence. It will certainly be a very different place with the gaffer not being here. Coming to the end of, what is that, 11 or 12 years. Yeah, it's a fairly decent stint, and it's hard to remember what came before him almost. So, yeah, we'll be looking to send him out the best we can. And, yeah, it's a bit of an emotional driver for us.
And you've brought in Dan Lawrence over the winter. How much does that help the squad sort of keep on their toes a bit and not get complacent? You've won a couple of championships now, and every year you added Dom last year, you added Dan this year. Just keep that lack of complacency, I guess. Keep you on your toes.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Dan's a very fine player. You know, I've been able to see him up close. I've done a few tours with him and those sort of things. And yeah, to add him into our ranks is brilliant. You know, obviously adds with ball as well as bat. So yeah, I mean, he's excited to get it going. It's really good for us. And yeah, we're looking forward to it.
And just how challenging, going back to the championship this year, will it be for you to try and attack it and go again, given the amount of quality in the league? You see Durham come up and what they've done under Ryan Campbell. You've got Lancashire, Essex, Hampshire, who are constant challengers, I guess. Is this probably the healthiest the Champo's been in quite a while?
Yeah, I mean, it looks a very strong division, doesn't it? And like you say, some of those sides on paper are very good teams. Yeah, it's very competitive. It's always competitive. You don't really get a down week in the Championship. And that's why it's probably so nice when you win it at the end of the year. When you can be in that position and say, yeah, we're actually top of the tree because of how hard the work is that you've put in to get there. So, yeah, it'll be very rewarding if we manage to do it again. And, yeah, the hard work starts now.
And just a couple on you. How do you reflect on your season in 2023? It obviously didn't go the way you wanted in terms of runs scored, but even more hungry, I guess, to come back in 2024?
Yeah, that's it. You know, for me, it was an underperforming season, probably by the previous, for many before that. So, yeah,
look, quite high.
Yeah, look, I want to contribute to wins from a personal standpoint. What I was really happy with and pleased by was my leadership through that. You know, it didn't really affect my captaincy and those sort of things, which is generally one of the hardest things to do if you're not performing exactly how you want to. So, yeah, I'm hungry. Hopefully I can score a shed load of runs and captain really well again.
That's Surrey skipper Rory Burns talking to our very own Scott Taylor. And you can watch that full interview, by the way, on the TalkSport Cricket YouTube channel. So head over to that, subscribe, and you'll find a lot more content on there already and coming up throughout the season. They've added Dan Lawrence, as Scott mentioned there, to Rory Burns, joining from Essex over the winter. And it still seems curious, Harmy. I've had what was it, 5 or 6 months to digest the move. And whilst it might well be in Dan Lawrence's interests, I can't see how Surrey needed him.
No, I can't. You say that, but you know, you always want good players. You always want players who want to push the rest and raise the bar to that little bit sort of higher level. And I think that's what Surrey's done to the rest of the teams, and Dan Lawrence will do that. It's a big couple of months for Dan Lawrence, because is there a place in the middle order for England up for grabs? We are there's talk about the you know, the wicketkeeper spot, Bairstow played. Obviously Harry Brook's going to come back in, and Harry Brook over the weekend smashed Durham all around the park. He tucked into Callum Parkinson, so Harry Brook's definitely going to come back. Off the back of a 4-1 defeat in India, where do England stand with their batting unit? Dan Lawrence was out there, so I think it's a good move for Dan Lawrence to go and play at Surrey. It's again, bats has got to fit them all in, but did they need him? Yes, you always need quality players to push the rest, but I think from a personal point of view and just for Lawrence's point of view, I think this is a good move for him to go and push his England chances that little bit more. To play at, you know, at the Oval, and I'm not knocking Essex, because Essex are a fantastic side, and you know, they've got a good surface down at Chelmsford, but I think just to go and play at the Oval and a winning, trying to be the champions, I think, you know, that might just lift Dan Lawrence's game and try and get him into that England team, and that's what he needs and that's what he's wanting. And I think Surrey will see it. We always want good players coming playing for the Brown Hat.
Now then, it's 1973, the last time Hampshire won the title. But they've been third in 2019, 2022 and 2023. And a cornerstone of that success. And they really, they've looked good for the title at various points in the last 3 or 4 years, is that fast bowling trio, or the seam bowling trio of Keith Barker, Kyle Abbott and Mohammad Abbas. But they are getting on a bit. But let's hear from Liam Dawson. He was also chatting at the recent Hampshire Media Day to our very own producer, Scott Taylor.
Without doubt, it's huge motivation for that. Not just for me, but obviously everyone in that change room. Something that we haven't done as a group, and you know, the only thing we haven't done as a group, you know, at this club. So, yeah, everyone's really motivated. You know, I think if we're honest, we've been close over the last few years. But I think if we can rectify a few things, you know, a few of those losses, if we can turn those into draws, that'll give us a huge chance in competing about, you know, being top of the league.
And arguably this season in the Championship with Durham coming up and the way they're playing under Ryan Campbell, it's going to be tougher than ever. How do you assess the strength, I guess, of Division 1?
Yeah, I said earlier, I think it's probably going to be the strongest that it has been maybe for a number of years, obviously with Durham coming up. They obviously dominated Division 2 last year and they play an attacking style of cricket. As I said, there's a lot of good teams in the division. Essex are always good, you know, Surrey are fantastic. Lancashire are going to be good this year with Nathan Lyon. So, yeah, there's some really good teams out there, but that's also a really good test for all the teams involved.
Do you feel like it's sort of now or never, really, with Hampshire? Because you've got the likes of Keith, who's approached 38, Carl's getting older, Mohammed's in his 30s as well. Do you feel like it's, like, yeah, now or never for Hampshire to win the title this year?
Yeah, probably. We've got an older group, definitely, especially with our seamers. Obviously, towards the end of their careers now, but they're obviously still quality bowlers. But yeah, we know that if we play good cricket, we can compete with anyone on their day. And yeah, we are desperate to win it. And as I said, if we can turn a few of those losses into draws, that's going to help massively. Because if you look at the table over the last few years, we win probably more games than anyone in the division. We just lose a couple more.
And how much has the boost been signing Ali Orr and obviously Tom Prest, another year older, another year experienced, so that boosts the batting, I guess?
Without doubt. I've not seen much of Ali Orr. Obviously, a couple of pre-season games this year, he looks a really good player. Looks a player that we sort of needed in our top order. Somebody who can sort of put pressure a little bit back on the bowlers, and he's done that in pre-season so far. He's played really well. And yeah, and Tom Prest, he scored a fantastic 100 last year at Chelmsford on a real tough wicket against a quality bowler in Simon Harmer. So, yeah, obviously another year older for Tom, and don't want to put any pressure on him. Just want him to go out and enjoy his cricket and hopefully he performs.
And how do you back up your 2023? 49 wickets, over 800 runs. A stellar season for you.
Yeah, it's probably a season that I realistic might not happen again. Yeah, last year was a really pleasing season, you know, in all formats, really. But to back that up again, obviously I'm desperate to do that, but very realistic how sport works. It's to do that again is going to be extremely tough, but I'll certainly be trying to do that, but also very realistic that that doesn't happen very often.
And just finally, you've won SA20, One Day Cup, The Blast. Where would winning the Championship rank amongst your career?
Yeah, without doubt, and that's exactly what I said earlier. That's my biggest driver now is to win that County Championship, because that's the only thing I've not done in my career. I've been very lucky enough to win a number of trophies, but to get that County Championship one would be something that would be a real, real special achievement to do, because you play it over 14 games. There's obviously a lot of hard work that goes into it, but it's obviously not easy to do. So yeah, desperate to do that. Hopefully I can do it before the end of my career, as a few others in that change room want to do. But yeah, all we can do is try and control and play good cricket and, as I said, hopefully lose a few less games and turn those games into draws, and then it might be possible.
That was Liam Dawson chatting to Scott Taylor a couple of days ago. And answers you didn't expect, Harmy. When Scott said to Liam Dawson, is it now or never for Hampshire? We all know what the answer to that is. No, of course not. We'll be challenging for years to come. Instead of which he said, yeah, probably. Our bowlers are getting a bit long in the tooth. You're getting on a bit. I mean, Barker's 38, Abbott is 36, and Mohammad Abbas is 34. So, you know, they're not old. And they Hampshire have the advantage of knowing that they'll have them, fitness permitting. They'll have them for you know, whenever they want them in the Championship.
Yeah, there have been quality performers for Hampshire for many, many years. I'd love to see how they can get our friend John Turner, who came on the show at the end of the winter, who spoke brilliantly, and he seemed as though he relished the chance of going with England to the Caribbean. And I'd love to see them get him into the team, because I think England would love to see John Turner get a game. And he might come into the reckoning at the back end of the championship season in September, when the wickets are a little bit flatter. And I think the reason why I mentioned that is I think Hampshire need to get wins early. They need to get wins on the board in the first seven games, because if the wickets do get flatter and it's a little harder for seamers to sort of get wickets in the sort of September time, because they need a little bit more firepower. They've got that up their sleeve, but they need to get wins on the board early for me. And that's, you know, why Barker and Abbott and Abbas have been so good over a number of years. And Dawson himself, Liam himself, in the twilight of his career as well. So I think all in all, I think Hampshire need to come out the traps quick. They need to come out the traps, you know, firing strong. And the biggest thing they need to do is get runs on the board. And I think the signing of Alistair Orr, I think that's a very, very good signing, because I think he is a quality player, a young player with hunger and with drive to show the England selectors that, you know, my move from Sussex was to driven towards trying to play international cricket. I think in the warm-up games, he's done quite well. So for me, Ali Orr is a fine, fine young player. And I think he might just be the difference of getting runs on the board to give the likes of Barker, Abbas and Abbott something to bowl at, especially in the first seven games.
And Harmy, just before the break, why are we not talking about Essex? I know that Alistair Cook's gone now, so Sir Alistair Cook and Dan Lawrence, but he's been replaced by Dean Elgar, former South African captain, and Jordan Cox. But the point about Essex is they don't struggle to take wickets, especially at Chelmsford. So why are we not talking about them?
I think Essex will be quite happy people not talking about them, just slipping under the radar, going nicely, all these test grounds with all that rich, all the riches, the money that they've got. You know, they'll be saying, don't write, nowhere. Anthony McGrath will be going, nowhere. Don't write us off. But we're not going to shout our name. We're just going to come and show you what we can do. You know, I think as much as what we're saying about Hampshire at the start of the season, Essex will be the ones, I think, that will come on the blind side at the back end of the season. If Essex get to a point where they're well within touching distance after the first seven games, then you will be talking about Essex at the back end of the season, because they can get wickets on anything. You know, the seam bowlers can do that. They've got quality seam bowlers. Got a phenomenal spin bowler in first-class cricket. And their challenge will be, to, as usual, to get runs on the board. And I think Anthony McGrath will be saying, well, you don't have to shout about us, but by the time the seventh championship game is finished, we'll still be there or thereabouts. I've got no doubt about Essex on that front.
You're listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, along with former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And you can now watch the show on YouTube. Just head over to the TalkSport Cricket YouTube channel and subscribe for loads of great stuff. Okay, we've got to talk about Durham now, Harmy. I think they're your pick for the title. Haven't won it since 2013, of course. First year back in Division 1 since 2016 this year. England call-ups would seem to be potentially the biggest problem for Durham. They could lose a couple of their frontline fast bowlers to England at various stages of the summer.
Yeah, I think that's the one that, you know, potentially could hamper Durham at the back end of the summer in a title challenge. I think at the start of the summer, I think Durham got a great chance of really putting a marker down and having a red hot go at trying to win this first division of the championship. I think Cass, as long as he's fit, I think Brian Cass will play for England at some point this summer in a red ball game. I think Matt Potts will play for England at some point this summer in a red ball game. But that's to come. That's after the first seven games. So for me, the first seven games, I think they've recruited well. I think Callum Parkinson as a quality operator in red ball cricket. I think that's a good sign of recruitment from Leicester. Colin Ackerman, I think, is another one who is a very, very good sign in. I think a lot of clubs are chasing him. And then if you look at England, you know, the batting unit of Bedingham just coming back off international recognition and 100 in the winter, you've got Alex Lees, who I think is still chasing that England dream, which you know, hopefully will drive them forward. And you throw in Ollie Robinson, who potentially could be playing for England in the back end of this summer, is a decent batting unit in First Division cricket. And if the wickets have got a little bit in them, you've got the likes of Coughlin and Raine, two experienced players who have you know how to get wickets at Durham, to go with the firepower of Potts and Carr. So I think all in all, Durham have got a lot of bases covered, and I think it'll be about hitting them first seven games and making sure they can get their noses in front, because if they can do that, I think they can win the championship. The problem for Durham would be getting over the line if England come calling later on in the summer. If they take Potts, Carson, Robinson away for the second half of the championship running, then you know Durham will need points on the board.
Okay, well, you mentioned Ollie Robinson there, and he does speak very, very well. Here he is in conversation with Jack Cunningham.
I'm really excited about this year. I think we've got a real good chance of doing something special as a group. I think we kind of put the foundations in place last year. And we're going to back what we did last year and carry on doing that this year. We've spoken a lot about it not being Division 1, it's the County Championship, and actually, in theory, we finished 11th last year. So actually, we turn up to every game. It's another four-day game of cricket. Anyone can beat anyone. That's kind of where we're at.
To be honest, kind of leads on my next question. What's the mood in the squad now? What are your aims this season?
I think our aim is to win it. I think, class. Why not? Essex did it a few years ago when they came up. Won Div 1 straight away, and we've got a real good squad this year. We've got a lot of competition for places. We've got a great group of bowlers, and batters probably won't like me saying it, but bowlers win your games and win your championships, and we've got that in abundance with Carsey, Potsy, Rainey and Boland and so on.
And finally, what would constitute a successful season for you by the end of the campaign?
For me, I want to contribute to wins for Durham, and I think if I can do that, then I put myself in a good place and I put the team in a good place. So I think the more you buy into the team culture and the more you buy into the team ethos of do it for the team, I think everything else takes care of itself.
That was Ollie Robinson, or Oliver Robinson, as we would prefer to have him known, having a chat to Jack Cunningham. He does speak well, Harmy. And do you know what? I mean, he didn't say anything new there, but a cliche is only a cliche if it sounds like a cliche. And when he says, the best thing I can do is contribute to winning games for Durham. We've heard lots of cricketers say that because they've been told to say that. But when Oliver Robinson says that, he sounds... Do you know what? And the other thing is that Ryan Campbell's really been pushing his case, hasn't he? Cambo's been saying, you know, well, what do England want? Do they want a batsman or a wicket? Because he's both. And sometimes a coach can think he's doing you a favour, and sometimes as a player you sort of think, oh, coach, just calm it down.
Yeah, but Ryan, the thing about Cambo is, and again, I was with him the other night. I'd say it was brilliant. Now, just to cut away a little bit, you know, the other night we had within a 15-minute period, we had the Durham coach on the stage, we had the Lancashire coach on the stage, and we had the Yorkshire coach on the stage at Durham's Hall of Fame dinner, all talking up their own chances. Both, yeah, Lancashire and Yorkshire coaches, Otis Gibson and Dale Benkenstein, they're obviously their love for Durham, and they talked about how good Durham have got it. But again, Ryan Campbell talking about how he wants his team to play, and he's right. He's not trying to protect his own stock. He wants these kids to play for England. Yeah, he talks about Carse being a quality operator, Potts being, you know, somebody that you can, you know, hang your hat on and bank on. But he also talks about Ollie Robinson's qualities, and his qualities are he is a phenomenal batter. He is a phenomenal wicketkeeper. He has got all-round qualities where not one of them shines through and leads. You know, he's not a batter, a wicketkeeper. He's a wicketkeeper, batter, and a batter, wicketkeeper in one go. So when you look at it, the one thing that Robinson will do, like Jamie Smith does, and there is an outsider, I think, but he's not playing red ball cricket, in Phil Salt, the one thing they all do is they all bat higher than number seven for their first class counties. And that, for me, it's a sign that, you know, they're proper, proper batters. And then it just depends what you want from a wicketkeeper. But Ollie Robinson, for me, is he can bat from four to seven, but will bat six for Durham. Smith the same. Phil Salt the same for Lancashire. So I think from that point of view, I think England want number seven to be able to score runs. And Ollie Robinson will definitely be able to score runs, whatever level he's playing at. So he did it in the winter. I don't think he's first cab off, but I think he's got a great chance if he goes and puts back-to-back first-class hundreds in this early part of the season, especially when you'd think it's going to be tough for batters with the amount of rain we've had around.
Now, as promised, we're joined live from North Yorkshire by David Lloyd to discuss Lancashire's prospects. And Bumble, thanks so much for your time. It's great to have you on the show. And I know that this is going to... I'm trying to work out why a 36-year or 37-year-old off-spinner needs to have his workload managed. The news that Nathan Lyon will now only play five of the first seven games. He was going to play all seven. Mind you, I suppose with the weather and the temperatures, he won't mind that news. But I do think that this workload management thing is sometimes quite hard to understand. Anyway, thanks for your time. Welcome.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hi, fellas. I'm exactly the same. I can't see that you get any better sat down.
Yeah.
And if you're an off spinner or a batter, I think you should be playing. I'm quite open to fast bowlers being managed properly to alleviate injuries and so on, and to build stamina. I've been over to Old Trafford two or three times in this last fortnight, so you know, I've got a feel of what's going on and where they've been. They've been in India practicing and preparing, and I commentated on a couple of those games, and it looked fine. It was a thoroughly good way to prepare for the season. So I've also seen the pitch being prepared for the first game, which is April 5th against Surrey.
Bumble, I was with Dale Benkenstein during the week, Durham's Hall of Fame dinner, and Benky's eyes are lighting up. He's enthusiastic. He's desperate to, just to get started and get going. He said their preseason had gone, as well as he would like. But the change between Glenn Chappell and Dale Benkenstein, Lancashire have always sort of, from a coaching point of view, they've had from within. Do you think that's going to benefit just a fresh pair of eyes from outside Lancashire in identifying where areas that need strengthening and obviously pushing towards a mount for the title challenge?
Yeah, and not only Dale Benkenstein, I think there's been changes behind the scenes as well. The bowling coach, the batting coach, Craig White has moved from women's cricket to men's cricket. Will Porterfield has come in as batting coach. So there's been quite a big change there. My observation, having been down at Old Trafford and worked on Lancashire TV, is that they've got to keep up with the big counties. They have to keep up. And I've always thought they were a little bit cautious. And what I mean by that is they play at Old Trafford, which is a splendid test match arena, and it's a test match pitch. They play four-day cricket on a five-day pitch. Now, signing Nathan Lyon has certainly helped in that regard, but they need to probably prepare a four-day pitch and to be a bit less cautious in the way that they approach the game. I think they need, to, in my view, to dominate games more than they have done in the past.
And Bumble, I think, knowing Benky as I do, I played with him for the best part of 7 or 8 years. He's a leader as a captain. His philosophy, he was ahead of his time, but he always used to say, I'd rather risk losing the game by trying to win it. And I think that mentality, I think, has got to help Lancashire going forward. The one thing he did say to me was he was so excited by some of the young talent that Lancashire have got in their midst as well. So he says there's one or two young players that aren't household names in our side. He says they've got a great chance of pushing them way through into the first team.
Well, they've got five wicket keepers for a start, so they should be able to choose one out of them. George Bell may bat at four. He's a tiny little lad, but he's a good player, wicket keeper. And when they were out in India, they were alternating between Lavelle, Hurst and Bell. And it may be that Hurst will take the gloves early season and Bell will bat at four. So that puts the usual thing in modern day cricket, your wicketkeeper batsman at number seven. The batting lineup seems pretty steady. Luke Wells at the top with Jennings, Bohannon at three, who may play for England. We'll talk about that as well. Bruce, the overseas guy. Bell, five. Bohannon at six as the all-rounder. and first change bowler, wicket keeper seven, and then your four bowlers, one of which will be Nathan Lyon, one of which will be Tom Bailey. So you've got two others to choose. So having sat next to Saqib, I went to a splendid do, sat next to Saqib Mahmood, and it was iftar, celebrating, you know, the end of Ramadan. And we had a wonderful time. There were 1,000 of us in that point. You know, the big thing, the big building at Old Trafford. There were 1,000 of us in there, and it was a thoroughly good do. I've never seen so many speeches. I have never, ever seen so many speeches. They were one after another, and it was thoroughly entertaining. We had a great time. But Saqib says he's getting there, and he's going to, you know, he thinks he'll be fit.
Bumble, on a wider point about the county championship, I mean, I covered my first one in 1988, and I remember then there being talk about the championship being in trouble. Now, your first championship season was 20-odd years before that. And if you go even before that, there's talk about how the championship needs to be revamped and it needs to be reinvented. The championship does get a lot of criticism. We'll hear a bit later on in the programme from Mickey Arthur, extolling the virtues of the county championship. He says that players around the world want to play in the championship, but it always seems to be in trouble in someone's mind. I mean, it's just such an easy punching bag, isn't it? It's always blamed for when England do badly. What are your views on it? I mean, you know, I still have the same sense of excitement before the start of every championship as I do now. But does it need reinventing, or is it in pretty good health?
Well, you mentioned I started in 1965 and it was in dire straits then. And I think it's just a UK situation. It's the UK way of life that we're finding fault when it's not there. I think right now the authorities are doing the very best to demote county cricket. I'm with Mickey Arthur, I'm with yourself. With many, many people who see county cricket. And I'll tell you this, it is, in my opinion, where every player starts, every one of them starts, every UK player starts in county cricket. So don't shove it to one side. You know, I do despair, but I'm philosophical that we're playing in winter. And I think, you know, county cricket, a great idea for county cricket would be to play in summer. I think it would be a wonderful thing. And a wonderful sport to play in summer. And I do hope that it catches on at some stage, that we can actually play county cricket in summer. And just very briefly, I would go three divisions, and the top three teams in each division and the best loser play off in the semi-final, and then there would be a final for the championship. And I'm just throwing it out there. I've not gone into any great detail. And to help the members along who want to see county cricket, to use the festival grounds a little bit more. And this is where Army comes into this, to have one derby. You have one derby game, home and away, alternate years. So Lancashire would play Yorkshire. They play Headingley one year, Old Trafford, as a one-off. It don't matter which division they're in, that's a one-off game. And you can play it for the AL Cup, or you can play it for the Boycott Cup, you can play it for what you want. But who would Durham play as a main rival? I'll throw one out there, Scotland.
Yeah,
Scotland. Durham versus Scotland. It'd be an absolute jamboree to go up to Edinburgh, play one year, and come down to Durham to play the next year. But you can, you know, you've got Middlesex versus Surrey. You've got Kent versus Essex, you've got Worcester versus Warwickshire, you get Gloucestershire versus Somerset. I'm just throwing it out there to appease the membership, and that will be my little tickle to county championship.
Yeah, I agree that the championship from, I've always liked the three divisions type model that goes with it. And I think the biggest part that you're seeing there is, you know, playing it in the summer, it's got to stop raining first, Bumble. And I mean, it's got to stop raining for us to even get on the park. So seven championship games in an 8 week or a 9 week period, we're not going to get. I don't think we're going to get seven championship games in. But it's just the middle of the summer is where I think a lot of members want first class cricket. I'm not I'm not bothered when it's played as such. I would like a couple of games in the middle of the summer, because I think we still have to look at all our moving parts, and our moving parts are not just 11 cricketers, the batters, the opening batters, the middle order batters, the all-rounders, bowlers. We've got a lot of different disciplines, and one of the disciplines is spin bowling department. In Lancashire, we've got Nathan Lyon, they've got Tom Hartley. You've just mentioned Josh Bohannon, who had a fantastic trip to India with the Ear squad. Yeah, for Hartley and Bohannon to stake a claim to play for England Bumble, Hartley's going to use Nathan Lyon, isn't he?
Yeah, he will if he plays. I'm not hearing that he's going to play. And he was always a white ball pick before England went calling for him. And so Nathan Lyon will be the number one spinner. It'd be nice if they played together, but it'd be more helpful if they played in summer. But Bohannon has every chance of playing for England, because the England number three at the minute averages 32 after 47 test matches. So I'm sure they'll be looking at that. And a bolter for England, an absolute bolter with the way that they're doing things at the minute, is that I think they'll probably be looking for a wicketkeeper, and that brings Phil Salt straight into it. Phil Salt plays exactly the way that England want to play, that the number seven has to dominate the tail. You've got to be able to play with the tail and be proactive. And so Phil Salt, although he's playing franchise cricket, has every chance, and his competition will come from Robinson of Durham and Jamie Smith at Surrey. Those are the three that I think that England will be looking for. And so Benkenstein's plans, if he was thinking of using Phil Salt, might be disrupted. And Bohannon, with a good start, has every chance of playing because he's done so well.
Bumble, I feel like a whole separate podcast needs to be dedicated to your revamp of the championship. But three divisions, top three and plus best loser, semi-final and a final. I've been distracted by it. But just confirm, why the three divisions? What's wrong with the two that we've got now?
There's nothing wrong. The absolute main thing of this, forget the three divisions or two divisions. And I'd be passionate that we play in summer. To play these seven matches, it's so unfair. It's pushing the county championship to the side, when it is the place where every cricketer starts, every UK cricketer, that's where you start. It's your dreams, your ambitions of playing test match cricket. And we haven't mentioned, we're talking Lancashire now, we've got two forgotten players in Livingston and Butler. They are Lancashire cricketers. And, you know, they will just be seen as white ball cricketers. And in particular, with Livingston, it's a travesty to me. I think he's got the tools to be everything. I really do. I think he's such a super player. And, you know, his finances will come from one day cricket and from franchise cricket. But he could make a real difference to England's test team, in my opinion.
Bumble, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for your time. If you can spare us another 10 minutes. So it will be wonderful to catch up with you in a couple of weeks' time if we get any cricket in the championship. Winter cricket.
I'd love to. I love a chat. I love an early morning chat. And we can have a moan, but we can extol the virtues of what a wonderful game we've got.
Absolutely.
The one and only legendary David Bumble Lloyd. You're listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, alongside former England fast bowler and my mate, Steve Harmison. Next up, we'll turn our attention to Division 2 and hear exclusively from England and Sussex bowler Ollie Robinson.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, along with former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And if you've missed any of the show and you want to catch up, you can always download the podcast from the Following On feed, available as always via the TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Right, let's hear now from England and Sussex fast bowler Ollie Robinson. Earlier on today, TalkSport's Scott Taylor travelled down to Hove to have a chat to him, wide-ranging chat, ahead of the new season.
So, Ollie, thanks for joining us ahead of the new season. Always an exciting time. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited just to play some cricket again, to be honest. Obviously, I've played, I think, two games since July. So to get back out there and be with the Sussex boys, it'd be good, and excited to get back out there.
How frustrating has the last 12 months been for you with the injuries?
Yeah, it's obviously for any sportsman to get injured during the games, it's, or any time, it's very frustrating. And I've been training as hard as I possibly can to avoid those, I suppose. India was a tough time. Obviously, waiting to play in the fourth game and then having another niggle in my back was pretty upsetting and frustrating, really. But it's one of those things in sport, and you just have to try and bounce back as best you can.
Is that the problem with a red ball only cricketer, that during the winter there's obviously no cricket, you can bowl overs in the nets for fun, but come to match practice, can't get any?
Yeah, I think so. You've hit the nail on the head there. I think bowling in nets, you just can't replicate that game speed, that match intensity. And for me, I'm someone that needs that. I need rhythm, I need to bowl. And that's why obviously playing for Sussex at the start of the year will be so important for me.
How much are you looking forward to leading and attack? Jaden Sills among the attack as well, but you're probably the most senior bowler. How much are you relishing that responsibility?
Yeah, obviously it's something I've done here for a while now. To have Jaden with us as well is great. I think it can take a little bit of load off me, and also opening bowling with someone who also plays at the highest level is... It's good to watch those other bowlers. He's obviously a very skillful bowler, very fit lad, and to bowl with him for the next few months would be exciting.
Do you ever? Are you someone that goal sets, or does it take it each day as it time? Because 2024, it's the first sort of English summer without Stuart Broad playing for England. So do you see that as an opportunity to sort of cement your place as the opening bowler with Jimmy?
I do. I've got a few goals that I've set, and I think one of those is probably to sort of cement my place in the England team. Yeah. Not necessarily to replace Broadie, because obviously he's one of the best we've had, but it'd be nice if I could cement my place this year in the England team and really sort of make a statement, I suppose, over these next coming months. There's probably a few doubts over me, I think, but if I can string some games together and get back out there, there's obviously a lot of Test cricket still to play this year. We've got West Indies, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, New Zealand. So, yeah, I need to put my best foot forward and cement my place.
You mentioned the noise. How does that affect you? Because there's a lot written about you, and then you don't back it up with the wicketless performance in the fourth test, which obviously forces another pile on. How does that affect you?
It's hard. I think I know that I say obviously a lot in the media, and I do like that side of sport. Yeah. I do like the banter and sort of those conversations that I had, so you do set yourself up to be killed, I suppose, when it doesn't come off. But it's one of those things, isn't it? Professional sport, you can't foresee the injuries, and obviously you don't know when they're going to happen. But the things about my personal life and stuff, I think, are quite difficult to see, because people actually don't understand what I'm going through or what's been happening. They just read something and they think, oh, I know him, I know what's been going on. So that side has been quite hard, but obviously it doesn't take away from the side, from the point that I have had an injury during a game again, and obviously I would like to sort of put that to bed and just play some cricket now.
Because I'm part of the media as well, we're very guilty of doing that, but then when we do have characters, we like having characters. So has this sort of criticism discouraged you from being who you are? Because I know you like to dish it out.
A little bit, I think. Yeah. I think it's just when you get crucified over and over again for like his personal attacks over and over again. So it just depends. I don't mind the sports side of it. I can handle that. It's when people attack my personal life. I don't think that's really that fair for people to do. But it is what it is, and obviously it's always going to happen in sport. I think it's one of those things you have to sort of accept it when you play at the highest level. But yeah, I'll be trying to put the sports side of it right and getting back out there and taking some wickets.
And how much has that changed you as a person, being part of the England setup, and I guess having to deal with the extra limelight and stuff over the last couple of years?
I think it's matured me quite quickly. I think from my debut, obviously that didn't go to plan. I think it's matured me very quickly. I think you have to be able to deal with it, otherwise you just get sucked up. You don't play for England if you can't deal with those things. And I've used people around me for help and support, and that's helped me a lot. Playing for England with that added limelight, like you say, but yeah, just to, I suppose, deal with it. It's done differently by everyone, and for me, my way sometimes is being sort of extrovert on the pitch, and I'm not actually like off the pitch, which people don't always see. But yeah, it's definitely difficult.
And how much are you looking forward to finally like expressing yourself on the pitch again? You said it's been 12 months. That's been quite frustrating, but you talked about all the cricket you got coming up. I guess going back to your happy place is the main aim.
100%. Yeah. For me, I love playing cricket. I love crossing that white line, getting competitive, and just bowling, really. My body being sore at the end of the day, recovering, coming back, trying to do it all again. I love that side of cricket and playing cricket. And I think if I can get back to that place where all I think about is cricket, I just love playing. I'll just enjoy playing cricket again, and hopefully that's the other side of it will just take care of itself. Taking wickets for Sussex and England, I think that can only help.
There's been a lot of talk about some comments saying you're at a crossroads in your career. Do you feel that personally, or do you look at Jimmy, who's 11 years older than you, and think, oh, I've got plenty of time left in the tank?
I think, obviously, with my injuries, it's one of those things. You only have so many lifelines. Like, if I keep going down in games, then why would Stokesy pick me? Why would Baz pick me? And that's the crossroad, I think, that we've got. I don't think my talent or my skill is a question. Yeah. It's, can I keep backing up games? Can I win games of cricket for England and stay on the field, stay for the whole series, not just one or two games? So I know that, and obviously that's out there. Everyone knows that. So for me, it's just about backing games up, bowling hard, and proving that I can still do that and be the person to do that.
I guess you can't help injuries. Obviously, these things happen. But how much confidence does it... Just maybe playing under previous captains or coaches, you'd have a bit of anxiety. Am I going to lose my place? But Stokesy and Baz, they back you. They publicly back you. So how much confidence does that give you?
Yeah, it does. And for me, as the person that I am, I really thrive off that. Yeah. I think if someone sort of goes cold turkey on me or sort of pushes me to the side, that really demotivates me. Mm. But the way that Stokesy and Baz have gone about it makes me even more motivated to be in the side, to get back in the squad, to start in the 11. So yeah, they're two great characters that have helped me a lot, and hopefully we can get back to the place that we want to be in.
And just finally, on Stokesy himself, he pulled out of the T20 World Cup today, but a huge boost to the test side. We saw what he did to Rohit Sharma with his first ball back. The difference he makes with the ball with the test side is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, massive. It balances the side up, and you have another world-class seamer in your ranks. So it's a decision that I didn't actually see coming. I thought the World Cup for England, surely he's going to want to play. And obviously he does want to play, but I think it shows how good the test environment is and how special the team we have is for him to pull out of the World Cup to focus on that team, to focus on the test matches, just shows that it's a really exciting time for that team. And I have no doubt that if we can get a few more percent out of each individual and sort of just click at the right times, we could be the best team in the world. And I think that's what Stokesy sees as well, and that's why he's made this decision.
And so just finally, on the English summer itself, you've got six games with Sussex before the test summer. Is maybe the first couple thinking, let's just get through it and injury free and then focus on, you've got the miles on the legs, let's start making that claim for the test side in the summer?
I think for me, in the position that I'm in, I just have to hit the ground as hard as I can from the get-go. I don't think there's any room to really ease into it. I think I'm playing four or five games, so I think I just have to hit it as hard as I can. And if the body gives up, it gives up. But there's always something you can do again. And I think for me now, I just have to let go and try and bowl as hard as I can and prove to people that I can do it.
Is it hard, like, when you're running into bowl thinking, oh, my back, hopefully my back doesn't go here? How hard is it to switch off? But I guess you talked about being competitive, but when I guess you have ball in hands, that goes to one side?
Yeah, I don't really think about it. I don't get any pain when I'm bowling. It's not something that I'm like, oh, this is going to go, because I don't have any pain. And all of a sudden, it will just twinge and I'm like, oh, it's gone. And it's a bit annoying. I've had other sort of niggles, and you're like, oh, you know when it's going to go, or you know that your quad could tear because it's on the edge.
Yeah.
With my back, it's like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
In India, for the 5-6 weeks before the fourth test, it was unbelievable. I had no pain, no problems. Getting to the game, I think I was on 5 now and I had that twinge. Mm. And you just can't foresee that. You can't really do much about it because you just feel like it's going to be fine. Mm. So it might be a bit psychological. It might be something underlying. We don't know. But at the moment, I'm looking at every avenue to try and fix that and get back to where I want to be.
That was Ollie Robinson in conversation with Scott Taylor a little earlier today. Harmy, I must say, He does speak well. I sometimes do wonder who's advising him, and I think sometimes he doesn't behave quite as sensibly as he speaks. But Sussex have really been through a tough time, haven't they? I mean, for a number of seasons now, and they need Ollie Robinson to lead. If he's not in the England squad, if he's not playing for England, I mean, this is the perfect opportunity. The age of 30 now to be the senior professional that he should be. And to perform consistently. I mean, it's not unusual for him to go off and take 10 or 12 wickets in the first game or the first couple of games of the season, but he needs to do it for a prolonged period of time.
He needs to do it for a long period of time. He needs to put back-to-back games together. He needs to make sure that, you know, when he does speak, he backs it up, because over the course of the last 6 months, 12 months, whatever, you know, whenever he said something, he hasn't been able to back it up. I think Ollie Robinson's at a crossroads in his career, because have England washed their hands with him? I don't think they have. I think there's no question that, you know, Ollie Robinson is a phenomenal bowler. And like Rob Key said in his Telegraph article, you know, he's a phenomenal bowler at 84 miles an hour. But he's not a phenomenal bowler at 78 mile an hour. He might be in first class cricket and he can bowl 78 mile an hour and as long as he wants for Sussex, but he ain't troubling for England. He's not troubling international players at 78 consistently mile an hour. So he has to get that point right, and that comes with hard work, and it's whether he wants to do that hard work, and hopefully he does. If Ollie Robinson plays his 6 out of these 7 games and goes and gets 30-odd, 40 wickets, which he will do and he can do, but it's how he does it. And I think that's what the England selectors will be looking at. You know, is he going through the motions because he can land it on a spot? He can do that with his eyes closed. It's the intensity of backing the spell up and keeping it going until the end of the day. That's what will get him back into the England team, because I think he's out of the England team at this moment in time. I really do. And I think he's not burned any bridges, but I think he's let a couple of people down who I think trusted him. And unfortunately, over the winter, I think he let himself down a little bit sometimes. But like you say, he's 30-year-old. So if he wants to do that and goes off to be Sussex's number one man and lead them and say, right, I'm going to get back into the England team, great. Sussex will win more games than they'll lose, because he'll win the games for them. But if he goes the other way, because England might not be looking for him and he doesn't want to go through that last spell at 84 mile an hour and push himself back up day after day, then where will Ollie Robinson be at the end of the season? And will his career just peter out? I hope it doesn't, because I think he's a talented, talented boy. But I think he's actually at a crossroads now. He has to hit these 7 games hard to get back into that England reckoning, because if he does, Sussex win. If he doesn't, then I'm not sure where Ollie Robinson will be at the end of the season. And that would be a concern, because, like I said before, this boy's talented, but it's talent that could get wasted if he's not willing to work that little bit harder to make sure that, you know, he's on it, because he can't have any drop-offs. Unfortunately, the pace he bowls at, he can't. But the skill levels he's got is very, very good. So it's a hard one. But it's a wait and see. And I'm really intrigued to see where Ollie Robinson is come June the 1st and all this championship cricket has gone.
Well, we'll be keeping a very close eye on Sussex because we're both big fans of Paul Firebrace and he's been a great supporter of the show over the last couple of years. Who else? Yorkshire have got to have a bounce back season, Harmy. They cannot linger in Division 2. Just doesn't look right. They'll have obviously Harry Brook and Joe Root in the second division for at least five of the seven first championship games. Will Yorkshire, are they good enough to bounce straight back? Anybody else catch your eye? I like the Mark Alane leading Gloucestershire. That's a great story. And I hope that he does well. He deserves to.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, man. Yeah, I agree. I think I'd love to see Boo do really well at Gloucester. He's a good man. He's a really good man. And he's got his county back that he obviously has done served so, so well. So, yes, I'd love to see Gloucestershire have a good season. But it's again, as much as Surrey is to lose in the top division, with Root and Brook available for five or six games in the second division for Yorkshire, there's only one team winning that second division. And I look forward to seeing how Yorkshire go, because I think it's not just about Brook and Root. I think there's some very, very good cricketers in that Yorkshire side, some young cricketers in that Yorkshire side who got their chance last season because of circumstances. This season, I think they can really, I think, put their careers, with a strong foot forward, the likes of George Hill and Matt Revis, to just name two very, very good, talented young players to play with Root and Brook. I think will enhance that, and I think they'll come out strong. So I expect Yorkshire to win the second division as much as, I think it's Surrey's to lose in the first division. Two strong, big counties. And I think the first division, English cricket, need Yorkshire in the top division because a strong Yorkshire always makes England better.
Well, you're listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, along with Durham Hall of Famer Steve Harmison. And you can now watch the show on YouTube if you're not doing it doing that already. Just head over to the TalkSport Cricket YouTube channel. Let's hear now from Derbyshire head of cricket, Mickey Arthur. He's been looking ahead to the new season with TalkSport's Luke Poulton-Hyde.
I think I've said a lot of times, if we're having this conversation end of September again, and we've been promoted to Division 1, I would be extremely, extremely happy. Because that shows that over 6 months, we've played consistently well. I know that we have a white ball team that on its day can beat any team in the country. I'm confident that we'll be there and thereabouts in our white ball team. And then it's about just understanding what happens on the day. Mm-hmm. We've got to get ourselves to a quarter final. We one game away from finals day, and then who knows after that. Mm-hmm. And then the 50 overs, depending on who we've got, we'll look to win that as well. So it's always hard to, I think as a coach, for me, it is player improvement. So if I see our players grow, our players get better, our players put themselves in positions to win us games of cricket, mm-hmm. and then their ability to take those match-winning moments and making them proper for us, that fills me with pride and joy. So hopefully we've had a bit of those. We're a Division 1 county come September.
On relation to the England Test match, there was a tweet released by the cricketer that stated that it was unfair for the young spinners of Tom Hartley and Bashir and Rehan Ahmed to, quote, carry the can of a domestic league that doesn't work. What was your thoughts on that and your opinions on their statement?
Well, my opinions on that was it didn't take them long to start criticising the county championship. When England were playing well, nobody spoke about the county championship. And then they criticised it the minute it didn't go right, which I thought was unfair. And you know, we've got young Jack Morley here this year. We're going to give him opportunity, because I do think that for England to become that test team that we want them to be, mm-hmm. and they're very, very good, that is one area that they do need to improve, because you've got to go and play in the subcontinent. You've got to win in the subcontinent to be the best team in the world. So as long as we can develop a spinner for them, those spinners are allowed to grow and allowed to develop England will get it right.
Why is it you think the county championship does get the blame like straight away when something goes wrong? Why is that?
Well, I think it's just because it's just the kicking can all the time. Mm. You know, I've been in domestic systems around the world now. South Africa, Australia, Sri Lanka, Pakistan. I've seen it. I've coached in the West Indies, in Bangladesh. I've been all over. The county championship still attracts your best overseas players. They want to come and play here. Young players growing up in other countries want to come and be part of the county championship. And I wanted to come and coach in it. Coaches want to come and coach in it because it's a very, very good system. I think it does get unfairly tainted at times.
As Mickey Arthur, former South Africa, Australia, Sri Lanka and Pakistan head coach, having a chat to Luke Poulton-Hyde. I always smile when I reel off those four test-playing nations that he coached. Do you know, I don't mind admitting this, he actually ran his bullet point presentation past me before he applied for the South Africa coaching job. And he never thought, he didn't think he'd get it. He thought he was a real outsider. And he went on to coach Australia, Sri Lanka and Pakistan. Absolutely amazing. And he's a brilliant coach. He speaks extremely well. And do you know, he's moving the furniture around at Derbyshire, and he's brought in a couple of big names, and Ewan Donald would be an interesting appointment there. And I find him quite inspiring, and I think that young players would find the same thing. I mean, I think there's been a few players over the last couple of years who've joined Derbyshire because of Mickey. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think to have coaches like Mickey Arthur and Otis Gibson, who have done a huge amount of international cricket coaching, that's brilliant for our game, especially our young players. You know, who cannot be inspired for playing for somebody like Mickey Arthur, who's got all the knowledge of the coaching side of it, but he's also got the empathy of the way of dealing with people as well. So for me, Derbyshire have got a chance. They've got a chance because not only because they've got Mickey Arthur, but they've got a fully concentrated Mickey Arthur. He's not got Pakistan to go to. You know, he's got to drive Derbyshire forward. And I think because of that, I think you've got to throw Derbyshire in the mix for that second division as well.
All right, moving on to a couple of other bits of news. Babar Azam's removal as Pakistan captain didn't go well, did it? He's back as as white ball captain. Corey Anderson returning to international cricket with the USA. That's a good story. I think he was hard done by in his first international career, and I think he's got nothing to lose now. He could be a real one to look out for at the T20 World Cup. And how about Ravi Bopara, still going strong, signing for Northants on a one-year deal?
Yeah, Ravi, another one, a bit like Mickey Arthur, international coaching jobs. Ravi's had some tracksuits in his time. He'll not know which one to put on. His wardrobe must be massive. So, yeah, massive. Yeah, good to see Rav because he's a great lad. And he'll give Northampton a lot of experience. Yes, I agree. I thought Corey Anderson at New Zealand was a little bit hard done by. And let's see how long Babar Azam lasts as white ball coach. Because I actually thought some of the stick he got was disgusting. It was terrible. Some of the stick that, you know, Babar Azam, what else do you want him to do? He had to captain the white ball team without Shaheen Afridi, who was injured for quite a lot of that. And then now he's got Shaheen Afridi back fit. They take the captaincy off him, give it to Afridi. And then they realised, he's actually better when he just bowls, so we'll take the captaincy back off him. It's Pakistan cricket. Without the sort of the turmoil, what would Pakistan cricket and West Indies cricket be to the world? You know, it's a gift that keeps on giving, so we keep on loving it. But Babar Azam, yeah, rightly put back as white ball captain because he's a top player, and he's somebody who I think in all that carnage can make decisions calmly while the world's ending around him.
Okay, Harmy, just to confirm, we should do predictions here. Just to confirm that you are going Durham and Yorkshire. Are they your predictions for Division 1 and 2?
My predictions for Division 1 and 2 are Durham and Yorkshire.
Okay, I'm going...
That's it. I'm not giving you anything more than Durham and Yorkshire.
Okay.
Surrey's to lose, but I think... Doing what they did, 20 players and 21 players, too many cooks on all that. I just think if Durham get lucky with their international call-ups, Durham will give a good, strong account of themselves this year, and I reckon Durham might just come on the blind side and win the first division of the Championship.
And do as Essex did, when was that, 6 or 7 years ago. And this week's final word, Harmy, we cannot take our attention away from the Bangladesh-Sri Lanka series, which has been incredible, and it's provided some YouTube clips for the ages. I mean, absolutely brilliant. There was one moment where one Sri Lanka batsman, I can't remember who it was, Jantha Mendis perhaps, was dropped three times by three different slip fielders off the same delivery. And and then did you happen to see that? You've got to go and look for it.
It's brilliant. I mean, there was three clips in that game. There was the appeal, which I don't even think Stuart Broad would have even contemplated doing the appeal. There was the catch
in the middle of the bat.
But the hilarious point of the catch was, I think two of them had helmets on at slip. Two of them had helmets on at slip. Now they dropped the catch. It was like to me, to you, and they just bounced off each other. And then I think the best one was, well, you back your mate up and you play as a team and you're hunting a pack. But the ball got edged down to third and five of them chased it. And they were like, the guy that picked it up turned around to like pass it to his mate. And it was like, which one do I pass it to? There's four of them standing right on top of him. So, I mean, that was a good one. I'm saying that was a great one. But I think for me, the final word this week, having played in two Boxing Day test matches and seeing what it's like to play in Boxing Day at the MCG, to have a women's test match, I think that is brilliant. And hopefully that the MCG is reasonably full, because to have an Ashes women's test match at the MCG is telling you exactly the trajectory that women's cricket is going on. It's on the up and up. It's going well. And for me, that's the sort of the icing on the cake for England and Australia's women's side to play at one of the iconic cricket grounds. You know, Sydney, Lords, MCG. For me, that's brilliant for the women's game.
And there it is, our final word this week. The MCG to host a Women's Ashes Test match in January 2025. Great news. You've been listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And if you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the Following On feed, now available, as always, via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week to look back at round one of the County Championship. But for now, this has been Following On.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.